This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. We're going to talk about India here in just a moment. Halfway through this hour, we're going to talk about, well, the crappiest country in the world as the tournament continues. I'll get to a bunch of emails. They lie about everything at all times. There's an eye popper. An eye popper from NBC that I'll give you in a little bit. All that and so much more still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. And yes, we're going to get to making fun of Dome. Now, before we get to India, I'm going to talk about a dangerous situation. A country can find itself in a dangerous situation. In fact, it's more than just a country, a company, a family. You know what a very dangerous situation is? Young men who are listless, directionless, and bored. It's a dangerous situation. Young men are full of energy, and young men desire a purpose. I'm not talking about ladies right now. Ladies, I know you need a purpose too. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about young men. And when you get groups of young men, large quantities of young men who don't have that, bad things will happen every single time. It was actually a lesson they taught us in the Marine Corps with over and over and over again. They would teach us, if you have young Marines, and when we were young Marines, we experienced this, but when you have young Marines, let's say you're out in the field. You're out in the field, you're doing a shoot, you're going to be out there for a few days. And let's say there's a lull in the action, as sometimes there is. Maybe it's a long lull. Maybe it's 4 or 5 hours. Do not just let them lay around. They're young men. They're going to be bored. There are weapons around. There are dumb things they will find. It's a small example, but no. I don't care if you have them go dig holes, do classes, work out, find something for them to do. You know the old saying, idle hands are the devil's workshop. Now let's expand beyond that and talk about nations. You know, when you get to talking about men and women and getting married and making babies and things like that, that can always turn into a spicy conversation really fast. People get offended or embarrassed or whatever it may be, but I don't care about any of that. So let's discuss it. As a country, you ideally have the same number of men as you do number of women for a very obvious reason, which I'm sure you've already figured out. You need the young men marrying the young women. You need them to stay married, and you need them to make babies. Does not mean that's everybody's lot in life. It's not. If that's not your lot in life, that's totally fine. Not saying you're wrong. Nationally, that's what you need. Men marrying women and making babies. Which brings us to the country of India. It's a fascinating place, and I'm not actually going to go off on India because they're part of our crappiest country in the world tournament. You already know some India facts, Indian facts, I guess I should put it that way, but India has a situation on its hands, and it's a serious situation, and they are doing something about it. Here's the situation. Depending on the study, India has roughly 10% more men than women. Now, I've seen ones that say 6%. I've seen ones that say 12%. We're going to stick with 10% because everyone has a reason to lie. Things get screwed up. Now, that doesn't sound like a big number, does it? 10%? Okay, so it's not 50-50. They didn't happen to nail it, but it's not the end of the world, right? Well, it wouldn't be a big deal, except for the fact there are 1.1 billion people in India. I don't have an exact number because, again, in my reading on this, the numbers were all over the place. I have seen numbers from 60 million men without female prospects up to 150 million men who don't have a woman because there aren't enough women. Now, that's a lot of people. Because when you adjust that for scale, because India has so many people, that's half the population of the United States of America of young men without female prospects. If you are the Indian government, that is a huge problem, an enormous problem. Did you know, pause on this for a quick moment, I'll come back to it. Did you know this is something Islamic countries regularly struggle with? And it's part, a small part, but it is a part of a reason that Islamic terror, Islamic jihad takes hold. There aren't as many women oftentimes in these societies because men are prioritized over women. There's a long list of reasons, but there oftentimes aren't as many women. And so you have large numbers of disaffected young men, angry, bitter, looking around, nothing to do. Oh, I would like to sample your suicide vest. That's how that happens. Now, back to what we were discussing, India. Let's split the difference. Let's call it 100 million. 100 million men without prospects. Now, you as a country, India is like any other country, and they're a large country, large economy, large military. They have a lot of concerns, a lot of things to worry about. You can't afford to have a 100 million man problem in your country. And so for years and years and years and years and years, this is not a recent phenomenon, for years the Indian government has been very focused on getting them out, sending them to other countries. Maybe you've been following some of this H-1B visa stuff, which obviously Indian people are going to be very prevalent whenever you discuss that. The White House came out and the White House said, hey, these H-1B visas, there's going to be a charge. Here's the headline. India sends high-level team to Washington as Trump's $100,000 visa fee takes effect. Okay, so Trump comes out and says, there's going to be a $100,000 fee for these companies trying to bring in a bunch of Indian workers. India doesn't say, okay, well, that's your call. India freaks out, tosses a bunch of Indians on a plane and flies them to Washington. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, this is the fallback position. Headline, new U.S. H-1B visa fee will not apply to existing holders. None of these details are super important. They are important, but for the purpose of our discussion, they're not important. The purpose of this is to discuss what we have in front of us. And by the way, it's not just America. India does this repeatedly with other countries around the world in an effort to offload young single men without female prospects. Now, that is not in any way to say you never want any Indian immigrating to your country. That's not what I'm saying at all. We have to understand that India is purposeful about this, and they try to do it en masse. And they have figured out a wonderful way to get it done in America, completely legal, because our lawmakers are total scumbags who won't get control of this thing. They have figured out, well, wait a minute, let's just have them work for less than American workers will work for. These companies will then apply. Hey, I need 5,000 employees. I need 5,000 H-1B visas. And then you end up with headlines like Disney having a bunch of people come in on H-1B visas and their American workers having to train the person who is about to replace them. This has been happening, and it will apparently continue to happen, and it is a gigantic problem. India is focused on getting these people out of its country. They don't necessarily care where they go, but they have for a long time found a very willing recipient for these people, the United States of America. And of course, Democrats love this because Democrats only look at things purely demographically. Democrats look at how Indians vote. Oh, wow, large majority vote Democrat. Sweet, let's bring in as many as humanly possible. This comes back to the mass migration thing we've talked about before. Remember, immigration doesn't suddenly become wonderful just because some dirtball politician determines it to be legal. The mass importation of foreigners, legal or otherwise, is always devastating to whatever country they're brought into. It just always has been. It always will be. It's a gigantic problem. And Trump administration knows it. At the same time, they feel like they're kind of over the barrel as they're trying to do trade deals. Oh, there's a fee, but not on you. That it's a problem. Let's do some emails before we do the crappiest country in the world competition. Before we do that, identity theft is a huge problem, and I wish it wasn't. Because it is oftentimes, not always by any means, but it's oftentimes older people who get ripped off. And part of the reason it's older people who get ripped off is not as technologically savvy. I sympathize. I'm not either. And so you're not tracking everything, and one day you log in and your bank account's empty. Or you go to take out a loan on something, get a car or something, and they say, oh, we can't do that. Your credit score is gone. And you say, what are you talking about? I had a 700. And they say, no, you have a 500. What happened? Well, stealing your information, your identity, is a full-time business for criminals around the globe. How do you know? How do you find out when it's happening? That's what LifeLock is here to do. They're here to alert you to threats. Alert you to threats. And because there is no firewall that'll stop everything, they have restoration specialists based right here in America, and they will fix it. They will make you whole, guaranteed, or they give you your money back. I love LifeLock. I love their values. I always have. You can save up to 40%. In your first year with the promo code Jesse. LifeLock.com, promo code Jesse. Or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Terms apply. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm so hopped up right now. It's probably this manly monkey chai tea. Let's get to these emails. Magic Hands Kelly. I think that when the founders said freedom of religion, they meant that meant within the Christian faith, and that they said freedom of denomination. Do you think that would have made a difference over the last 250 years of America? Well, at the founding of the country, that's exactly what it means. In fact, you had to express a belief in God before you could hold positions in the government. Did you know that? Over the years, that meant, well, you have to let 50,000 Muslims pour into Minneapolis, and now there's a Muslim call to prayer. Over time, things get watered down and broken. And people don't know their history at all. So people don't know these things. Jesse, I found it amusing every time some pathetic eunuch qualifies his disgust with Charlie's assassination with, while I do not agree with everything Charlie said, this is a qualifier that is a dead giveaway for who you're dealing with. A dead giveaway for who you're dealing with. People fail to speak boldly now. So often, and it disgusts me because people are uniquely afraid of criticism these days. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want a nasty email. You're stupid. I hate you. You're wrong. They don't want anybody on social media dogpiling on them. They're worried about offending other people. And so I've talked about this with you before. Some people are more naturally people pleasers, and some are not. There is a real man-woman thing to this as well. Not at all universal, I should note. Not at all universal. There are plenty of women who aren't this way, but Ab, for instance, my wife, much more so than me. She doesn't want to offend anybody. She doesn't want to say something that is wrong or out of line or viewed as mean or something like that, whereas I just don't care. That doesn't bother me at all. People getting offended has never bothered me. And so Ab is more inclined to say something to me like, please don't embarrass me. What's she mean by that? She doesn't want me to say something that makes me look like a barbarian in front of a bunch of other people. That's what she means by that. It's not that she's wrong and I'm right, but she is more susceptible to communist manipulation than I am. Don't get me wrong, she's as hardcore right as it is. But people pleasers, and you know if you are one, if this is you, you have to be hyper aware of this. If you are a people pleaser, that is a value the communist loves in his enemies because he figures out how to use it for his cause. You know, Trump brought up immigration earlier. I played it for you earlier, how they're trying to be nice or using compassion. And while what he said wasn't correct about the elites who were doing it, they're doing it to destroy their country. What he was 100% right about is any of the masses who buy it, oftentimes that is the case. And when it comes to us on the right, even if we disagree with something, oftentimes we won't say anything because we don't want to have an argument. We don't want people to yell at us. I'm not really sure. And so even in the wake of a political assassination, you see this a lot. Like I told you, there's a famous pastor in my area who I'm not going to name. I was told immediately that's what he said. Well, I didn't agree with everything he said. Why do you have to say that? Why don't you get up and say, we lost a Christian martyr, and it's awful, and he's with Jesus now, and we should stand against this and fight boldly. That's what you say. Why? Why do you have to throw that? Well, I didn't agree with everything. Why did you have to throw that in? Because you're afraid. You don't want that Democrat in your congregation to pull you aside afterwards. I guess you didn't hear he was a racist or some other stupid thing they would say. You're afraid. You don't stand strong. And so you throw in qualifiers so you don't get criticized. It's terrible. Avoid that. Jesse, tell me how to continue listening to you even when baseball is on our local channel. I prefer Jesse. Okay, so remember I always tell you, you can download the show on iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. You can download a podcast. But for a lot of people, they like to listen live, and I get that. Maybe you're listening live right now. Remember this. Different affiliates have different deals. They have to make money too. Whatever affiliate you're listening to, they have an obligation. That station has an obligation to make money. And in an effort to make money, sometimes they have different contracts with this radio host or this sports team, or, hey, we have to carry the local college baseball games. That's a deal that was struck for the station. The station makes money on it. Look, you can complain respectfully if you want, but understand that's the game. They're not doing it because they hate me or something like that. At least I don't think they're not doing it because they hate me. If your affiliate cuts off the show, remember it's 3 hours long from 6 to 9 Eastern every night. We are live 3 hours long. If your station doesn't carry it on the iHeartRadio app on your phone, the iHeartRadio app is free. All this is free, remember. On the iHeartRadio app on your phone, you can listen to any affiliate you want. Any affiliate you want. If you're in New York and you want to listen to San Diego, you can. By the way, you don't have to do that. WOR carries the whole thing live, but you understand what I mean. If you're in Miami, you want to listen to Seattle. If you're in Omaha, you want to listen to Houston. You can listen to any affiliate you want for free on the iHeartRadio app or download the podcast. All right? Just remember to get some rough greens, too. Fred is in desperate need of some rough greens right now because, like I said, Ob is gone. I'm bacheloring it up for a couple days, and this is when his stomach gets really upset. He curls up by the front door like the gigantic, pathetic fluff ball he is, and he essentially just whimpers until she comes back inside the house. It is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, and he generally won't eat. But when we make him eat, I'll try to like drop an egg or a piece of banana in there. Then he gets an upset stomach, or at least he used to. Rough greens did not solve the whimpering, but it did solve the food from coming back up because it has probiotics, digestive enzymes, live vitamins, minerals, the stuff your dog needs to live a long time. Get a free jumpstart trial bag for your dog or your cat. Roughgreens.com. Promo code Jesse, or call 214-ROUGH-DOG, promo code Jesse. Crappiest country in the world. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. And now you know what time it is. The tournament of tournaments has been hotly contested, if you will. And we have not had a matchup as close as this matchup was. In case you missed the first round or anything, just know India emerged and Afghanistan emerged. And look, they're both, it's a rough area. It's a very rough area. Here is our second round matchup, and it's a tight one.
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition. Tonight's matchup is between Afghanistan and India. Brought to you by Stinky Pete's Outhouses, flies included.
So, as a way of introduction, let's recap what these countries are all about. And I should note these recaps. The second round is the only time we're going to do this. The third round, you know the countries by then. We'll add a little tidbit there, add a little tidbit here, and just kind of declare the winner. But for now, let's introduce everybody to a little place known as Afghanistan. At a glance, you have to consider Afghanistan one of the favorites out here. I believe they're a 16 seed in our tournament, Chris. Not quite sure how that happened because, boy, they look like they could be a number one seed easily. They might run the table. I don't know who's going to win yet. But again, we'll start out with the State Department travel advisory. Four levels. One, you should go enjoy yourself all the way up to number four. If you visit the country, make sure you have a will because you're probably going to die. That would be Afghanistan. They are a level four, and I don't mean one area or another. The U.S. State Department says, please do not visit Afghanistan for any reason. If you do happen to visit Afghanistan, don't bother looking for the U.S. Embassy because that closed down years ago. We don't even have government personnel inside of Afghanistan, at least not ones that we know about. Terrorism? Oh, don't worry. It's your one-stop shop for terrorism. It's practically an old town sizzler buffet. You go, you want to meet Al-Qaeda? They're there. ISIS, they're there. In fact, all of them work with the terrorist group, the Taliban, who are now the government of the country. Two-thirds of the country is living in poverty. Honor killings are a thing. In case you don't know what these are, it can be... Here's what happens. A woman does something, oftentimes the most innocent-sounding things in the world, and her own family members will murder her, often violently, stoning her to death, strangling her. Yeah, that's common practice in Afghanistan. Also, young boys are routinely assaulted in terrible ways. This is part of Afghan culture. It truly is a living hell. Women are not even allowed to be educated now. They're not allowed to hold any kind of public office. The one good thing you can say is at least they're not in the workforce. The good news is if you happen to visit Afghanistan, you can buy American military equipment, though, because we left so much of it behind. So if you're looking for state-of-the-art NVGs, Humvees, even a Black Hawk helicopter, it can all be purchased in Afghanistan if you're not too busy honor killing your sister. Not overall a very great place. Like I said, Afghanistan's going to be a tough out. But, hey, in a tournament like this, the other guys play too. Just because you're bad doesn't mean someone else isn't bad. Let's remember what India is.
Let's talk about India. My word, there's a lot of rape. There are articles stacked on top of each other about the rape epidemic in India. Tourists get raped all the time. Wives are routinely raped by their husbands in India. Children are routinely raped in India. How many? Well, I read one estimate that has 153 million girls and 73 million boys have been raped in India. It happens by gangs. It happens at night. It, by all appearances, is the rapiest country on the planet. That's not a good thing. Also, 80 million people live below the poverty line there. And on top of the rape, the country is most famous for being absolutely filthy in every possible way. A good friend of mine has traveled all over the world. He works in oil, has been all over the world, has seen everything. He said it is the most wretched place he's ever been to in his life. It is the worst country on planet Earth. He swears he's never smelled anything that bad. Why the smell? Well, there's no garbage infrastructure really to speak of. You know how you put out your trash can on Saturday and the trash man comes? Yeah, that's not happening in India. So people just chuck entire garbage bags into the river or the road. There's trash everywhere, but it's not only garbage, you see. It's poop. It's pee. Not just animal poop and pee. Human poop and pee all over the streets. The entire country apparently is like San Francisco. Rivers full of trash. And to compound this problem, it's one of the dustiest countries on the planet, which means it smells and everything looks dirty. Oh, and they still have a caste system there. A caste system which is, it's been outlawed, but apparently it's still very much in place. Meaning if you are born to one of the lower castes, don't get your hopes up. You are never getting out of those socioeconomic circumstances. Just hope you get home from your crappy job before somebody rapes you.
That's India. I will level with you here. I thought Afghanistan, with all the terror and the honor killings and the young boy rape, I thought Afghanistan was going to beat India. I mean, India is still, in a lot of ways, a fairly modern place, certainly a big economy, and kind of a first-rate military, not that bad. I thought that, in the end, would win out. I decided to leave this one completely up to you, and it was neck and neck. But India won. You called it, and it's so close that I don't feel right overruling it. India got 51% of the vote. Credit to them. India moves on. Afghanistan. I want you to know something, though. You put up a great fight. You put up a great fight. And just because you lost in the second round, that doesn't mean you're not a champion at heart. You could easily have been a champion. Remember something, Afghanistan. Sometimes luck just isn't on your side. That it goes that way sometimes. Sometimes luck just isn't on your side. You know, 51% of the vote is not a huge win. India's had some bad publicity lately. We've been scuffling with them over trade and then all this argument over H-1B visas and things like that. So India's on people's minds uniquely. I have to assume that came into play when it came to the voting. Either way, Afghanistan, I don't want you to feel bad. You are a wretched, horrible place. And I would never even, I wouldn't even want to fly over Afghanistan because your country is so disgusting and horrible in virtually every way. So you need to feel good about yourself. You put up a good fight. There's only one champion. That's the thing. We have to keep that in mind. There can only be one. We don't do participation trophies here. There's not even an award for second place. There is one champion. And remember, the champion is going to get a generous gift from the Jesse Kelly Show, something I think they will treasure a great deal. Tomorrow, we have another barn burner. Rwanda takes on North Korea. And the winner of that, wow, the winner of that one takes on Haiti. That's going to be a bloodbath, which is pretty normal for all those countries. Now, we have to take a moment. And we have to laugh at Dome because she's back doing news hits. Next.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us and you should. Your love, your hate, your death threats. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. I'll get to a lot of those next hour, but we have to talk about Dome for a moment. Because Dome wrote a book. Now, let me rehash something we've discussed before about politicians in books. It's one of those legally corrupt things that happen. And this is what I mean by that. Politicians don't generally make a lot of money. 160, 170 grand a year. I realize the vice president's going to make more. They don't make a lot. And I know that's a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but that's not going to create wealth, millions of dollars. It's not going to happen. So there are people who desire a lot of money. And there are people who spend their time, especially Democrats, but Republicans do this too. They spend their time raiding the public treasury and handing it out to their friends. That's what they do. They're looters. They're robbers. They're thieves. That's what they do. Thieves who expect a cut of the action. Thieves who expect to be rewarded. This often takes the form of a book deal. How is Bernie Sanders, how does he own several homes worth millions of dollars? How's that possible? Book deals, you see. But here's the thing about writing a book. I wrote a book, The Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com. It's the only one I ever plan on writing. Do you know it was a bestseller? Wall Street Journal bestseller list, all this stuff. Did you know that in the month of July, it was the number one political book in the United States of America the year it came out? Do you know how much money I made from that book? Not hardly anything at all. After the initial advance, you know, that's the money, the check they write you before you write it. After the initial advance, I've never seen one dime. The number one political book in the United States of America. It's very, very, that's not, I'm not complaining, I'm fine. But the point of that was, it's very difficult to make any money on a book. It's very, very difficult. So how could you make money on a book? Well, here's how. I just mentioned that Wall Street Journal bestseller list. Did you know that? Now, I only found this out after I wrote a book, that these bestseller lists, they'll put out numbers. Oftentimes, I don't know if these numbers are public, but we were getting these when my book came out. They put out numbers of how many books were sold. And you would notice there were these outliers. Like, you sold 5,000 books last week, and this other book sold 40,000 books last week. Wait a minute, how's that possible? Well, they would even put a note on those. What was that note? It was an indicator that one organization bought thousands of copies of the book. Now, how many times have we discussed the system and how the system takes care of its own and how having a system membership card, being known as a loyal member of the system, is profitable? Kamala Harris has been a loyal member of the system her entire life. She has served the communist cause for her entire political life. She wants to make some money, wants to write a memoir and make some money. Now, nobody cares about Dome's book. Nobody cares about anything this moron says. No one cared anyway. No one even likes
her. Well, let's take a look at her net favorable ratings nationwide. You know, back in October of 2024, she was at minus 5 points. Not exactly great, but pretty close to the zero mark, right? Pretty close to even. But now, down under she goes. She's at minus 13 points. That's an 8-point drop since the general election among the overall electorate. She is not well-liked at this particular point. The American people, they don't want this. They don't want her. And get this, she's 37 points underwater with independents. If you can't win independents, you can't win the election. And the.
So why write a book? Who's going to buy the book? There are going to be, mark my words, probably multiple communist organizations, probably ones that she, in a roundabout way, filtered your money to, who go out and buy thousands, tens of thousands of copies of Dome's book. What are they going to do with it? Nothing. Probably throw them away, put them in some stupid library no one will read, throw them in a back corner. That's not the point. The point is, it's a way to get money legally to a politician. Writing a book, if you're a politician, is a way to legally swindle money. It is. And when you write a book, I had to do this too, you go on essentially a book tour. I think mine was
week or two. And what you do in that week is you go do other shows. You do as many shows as you possibly can. And you're what? You're selling your book. You can find out in my book, what's your book called? 107 Days or something like that. And this is how it's going.
My concern about him running for re-election was...
She's talking about Joe Biden.
My concern about him running for re-election was completely separate from my admiration and knowledge about his capacity to serve as president of the United States, which was consistent and never wavered.
Well, when we sit here, as we sit here today, do you think he would have been up for running the country for four more years?
Here's the distinction that I make. It's and having had the experience myself, it is one thing to have the capacity to govern. It is another thing to go through an election for president of the United States.
Yeah. So she's lying. And she's just saying the most ridiculous over-the-top lies.
Sitting vice president enters the race against a former president of the United States who's been running for 10 years with 107 days to go. And it ended up being the closest presidential election in the 21st century.
No, it wasn't. But what's she out there actually doing? We all know what she's doing.
A tyrant. We used to compare the strength of our democracy to communist dictators. That's what we're dealing with right now in Donald Trump.
Yeah, we got all that. But none of that's the best part. The best part is Dome sat down with Rachel Maddow and was asked a very pointed question about why she didn't pick the rear admiral. Why didn't Pete Buttigieg, why didn't he get the nod to be her VP? And we're going to have so much fun with this in just a moment. Before we talk about the rear admiral and Dome, before we do that, let's talk about Pure Talk. Let's get you switched up, get your cell phone service switched up to the company that doesn't farm out all their work to other nations. They are adamantly pro-American. They hire Americans. Even in customer service, nobody does that. Everybody has to go to some call center in some dirty dump of a country with people who don't speak English to save pennies on the dollar. Not Pure Talk. Pure Talk's been hiring Americans for a very long time. And when you pick up your phone and dial #250 and you switch from Verizon, from AT&T, from T-Mobile, you will get to speak to a pleasant American. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. You can switch during the break. It's easy. You keep your phone. Keep your phone number. Or they'll get you a new one if you want it. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.